So 70 grand to be part of this. Now you've got ownership. Well, guess what? With that ownership, it was about $3,000 and to $4,000 of association fees every year, plus closing costs. And then after 20% down, right? Now if you're getting a loan through the hotel, 11 to 12%. I mean, my gosh, I don't think there should be, I could do a whole podcast. Like, I'm not for usury laws. I just, for everyone just getting really educated and we can make our own choices. But boy, that's like borderline close to usury laws. That's a pretty impressive interest rate, 11, 12%. I mean, it's trying to get up there with the credit cards. And I'm like, holy cow, how the heck do you get away with that? Well, people just usually refinance within a week or so. Really? I'm sure banks are lining up to give you a personal loan for a stupid timeshare.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have, guess who's back? Tammy B, my awesome co-host.
Woohoo! Missed you.
I missed you too, like big time. It felt like forever. I do one whopping podcast without you in a while, and I just, maybe I'm improving. I just hate monologuing. I really hate it.
I would think it might be boring.
It is, because I'm just, well, not that I'll talk with myself all day, because I'll come up with an idea and then I'll challenge myself on it, come up with an idea. I mean, that's just the nature of design and troubleshooting. But yeah, it's nice having someone, especially you think differently from me. And so it's great. It's great being with like-minded people. And it's also great being with, but not like-minded, so we can see things from different angles and come up to with better solutions and better ideas. And so absolutely, just me talking to myself, even though I know a whole bunch of listeners will be listening, I'm just not used to it. So, and I always say it on the podcast when I have to do a monologue without you, these talk show hosts, man, they're amazing.
Yes.
How they can go 2-3 hours and just keep going and going and going. Yeah. But it's a lot of them I find fascinating, but like I've told new listeners that, hey, you got to get off talk radio. You're just going to want to shoot yourself. I mean, it's just so damn depressing, even though there's some brilliant minds. And start listening to my podcast. At least I'm a lot more positive, and it's going to make you more money.
And it's accurate information.
It's accurate, yes. Let me talk about timeshares, and I will get back to what I was talking about on that debt instrument. And those are debt instruments, by the way.
Okay.
Notes.
Right.
So last week, my wife, my daughter, and myself couldn't bring Maximus. He's a little too young. Too young to take down in Las Vegas. So, Lauren, my daughter, she's a huge fan of Lady Gaga.
Mm.
And so a year ago, Danielle's in charge of, she's director of me. That's her title at the company, director of marketing and entertainment.
Nice.
And so she dictates my whole social calendar and she's awesome at it. And because if it was up to me to plan trips, we'd go nowhere. I really enjoy working. It's become an art learning how to relax on vacation and not think about work.
I understand.
So we had an opportunity. So a year ago, she got these great, great tickets for a phenomenal deal because it was like a year ahead of time.
Sure.
You know, it's delayed gratification, by the way, very powerful concept. So thinking in advance, planning ahead, she got a great deal on these tickets and I was invited to, which is awesome. And it's pretty funny. Everyone's like, oh, you're going to Lady Gaga? Yeah, she's got a phenomenal voice. I really look forward to seeing her. And she does. Holy cow, that was a great concert.
I bet.
That was like the whole skit thing. I didn't quite understand. But her voice, her singing, so good. And Lauren loved it. And then my job is like, hey, I'm going to go get, I've always been trying to learn about, through my clients who are awesome at it, timeshare masters, on the timeshare thing. Have you ever dealt or been to a timeshare? Tammy?
It was a while ago.
And how was that experience?
Oh, painful.
Oh my gosh. So good. I want to hear your experience because everyone listening, don't do it. Don't do it. We stayed at a beautiful hotel and it was nothing. It was like $250 in Vegas in prime time. We're there for what, 3 nights? But I agreed to get that phenomenal deal. I agreed to, and it was a huge suite. I mean, Lauren's never stayed at a hotel in Vegas. She's 19 now, and she was just so, the whole experience for her was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, she loved it. And so it was a great time. And so thank you, hotel.
Right.
But the timeshare, shuttle picked us up at 9:15, takes us from one location to their location, get there. The super nice guy comes out. very, you can tell, sales training. Ugh. Holy cow. I'd like to know the schools they go to, but you want to talk about masters of manipulation.
Yeah.
They've got it to a T.
Right.
They have summed you up before they've come out.
Right.
And I swear to God, they've got cameras on you. You know, they ask what you're interested in. They're looking at what you look like. They want to know your background. And coincidentally, the guy we got, oh, he knew a whole bunch of people in areas in Jersey. He grew up right there in Niagara Falls, you know, in the area. Well, Niagara Falls is not right there next to Morristown, New Jersey. But the point is that they're getting the whole thing. But so this nice guy comes out, offers their beverages, and then he's dedicated to us for the next 2 hours, which turned out to be 3 hours of hell, in my opinion. God. And then we go to sit down, and this lady, she's just super nice, incredible speaker. I mean, I would say she's equivalent to you, Tammy, on stage, except she didn't have the same, you're transparent, sincere. I think she had an agenda. It's a little different.
Sure. Thank you. That's a great compliment.
But it's very good, very engaging, very good. But man, you could tell, I'm like, right off the bat, I'm with Daniel Watch. They are hitting the emotion thing big time. Mm-hmm. Experiences, emotions, and living life, and having you earned it and deserved it. And I'm looking at all these hotels throughout. It's hard not to be, it's pretty impressive. I was like, wow, this looks awesome, right? I want to see the details.
Right.
What a great idea. What a great concept. Now prove it.
Right.
I want to see the details. And so then we sit down afterwards, and we sit down and say, hey, what'd you think of the presentation? What'd you like? Oh, I'll tell you what I liked. It looked awesome. I mean, she's a great speaker, isn't she? Yeah, she is great. And what a great job getting the new couple in the back. They're in love and crying, and don't they deserve great trips every year? And what a great job getting the old guy, you know, who's never done a vacation in his life. He can live out the rest. I mean, it's just brilliant. And how that whole thing is. But I said it was a great presentation. Really enjoyed it. Let's see how it works. Let's see the details. And I wish I could just show, but we're sitting down. I think about an hour and a half in it. I look over and I was like, okay, my sweet pit bull is about to kill him and then me. But I said, hey, that's great. But so essentially, this is just for this particular hotel. I don't know how it works all these other timeshares. And I will end it too. In fact, talk about it. There is some value. And so fortunate for me, a great friend of mine and great client. I just had lunch with him prior to this podcast. And I said, okay, you play a timeshare game. Let me tell you my experience. Shoot me. But tell me where there's value. So there is an upside to it.
Okay.
But this presentation, I said, hey, for 70 grand, you can get 10,000 points. They do it in points.
Okay.
Which is really clever, by the way. And I don't think smart. I think it's the advantage of the hotels, not the advantage of the client purchasing these things.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can dive into it. And then I want to hear your experience too, Tammy. So 70 grand for 10,000 points.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. And with those 10,000 points, you go a certain time of the year, well, it's only 5,000 points. You'd be staying in this great hotel. But then if you go to peak time, it could be 10,000.
Right.
And so, okay. So worst case scenario, maybe 2 weeks of vacation here and there, and you get access to all these areas. But if there's a time you really want to go, crap, you might only get, it might only be a 7-day deal, 5-night or 7-day deal.
Right.
And the part I don't like about points is that it's like a currency. They control it.
Right.
I mean, that contract, there's nothing I heard. I said, hey, I want to see more details. But verbally, you guys can modify those points anytime you want.
That's right. To their benefit.
You deflate it like a currency. And I highly doubt it's to my benefit.
Right.
And, oh, that's never happened. I'm all BS. Come on. If it's never happened, why even design it that way?
Right. Exactly.
I mean, that is not a contract design in my favor. It's a contract to design the hotels, right?
Absolutely. If nothing else, you have no control over it.
No, you don't. And then they're selling this pride of ownership. Oh, you own something. You own something. Okay. Let me put that to the side real quick. You own something. So Tammy, I love Lake Tahoe. I also love Annapolis, Maryland. I love the Chesapeake Bay. Those are probably my limited experience in life. Those are probably one of my two favorite areas. If I could have a waterfront home and a dock, that's one of my dreams. I just love being on the water.
Yep.
Now, if I was given two options, like, hey, and by the way, these numbers aren't even close to what properties cost in Tahoe now, but let's say you could get a waterfront home for $2 million in Tahoe. Good luck.
Okay.
That's like a teardown now. Maybe a teardown for $2 million, they put $3 million into a new one. Right. And to get a doc, and that's Act Congress too, because all the regulations up there with the TRPA,
sure,
which stands for Tahoe Regional Protection Agency, Planning Agency, and they have, they're designed to protect the waters of Lake Tahoe. At the same time, there's politics, and with all that stuff, there's a lot of power too and control.
Sure.
And it's just amazing. You know, you think you own a property, you really might not. You're just leasing it forever.
Right.
But what, if I gave you a choice, Tammy, I mean, would you like to have a waterfront home
in
any of those locations?
Yes.
Tahoe?
Absolutely.
So if I'm going to give you a choice, you can have ownership of a $2 million home. Oh, whoever, who cares the number? $10 million. I'll give you you're going to get to buy a $10 million home in a lakefront with a dock in Tahoe, and you own it. Now, what if I said you could have full control of that $10 million? You don't own it, but you have full control of it for the rest of your life. You can use it anytime you want, do whatever you want with it. What would you rather have? Would you rather have ownership, or would you rather have 100% control?
Question. Because my initial thought is ownership, but because wouldn't I have full control as the owner?
Maybe not. You could, but maybe not. Hmm. But let's say you had full control as owner, but I give you the same deal and you have full control not being the owner. What would you rather be?
I don't know. I feel like this is a trap.
It's not a trap. Just give your gut answer.
Full control or full ownership.
Well, your gut answer is you said you want to be an owner. So,
yeah.
All right. So you want to be an owner.
Okay.
Okay. Why?
Because I feel like I have control then, as opposed to just renting.
Well, I didn't say rent, did I?
No, I know, but that's where that's where I'm going in my head to actually compare this, because this isn't hypothetical.
Yeah, the majority of people are going to argue that they'd rather own it, and I probably years ago I would have too. Right, every year I learn, and what I love about what I do is I love learning and teaching, and I just learn so much from my clients every day. So initially I would say I want to own it, right? Pound my chest. I own this. This is mine. It's ego, right? But I would argue, say I own it, but you had some type of lease on it. You had some type of contract with me that you could use anytime you want. Who has all the responsibility? The person who controls it or the person who owns it?
Owns it.
Who has to pay all the taxes?
Owner.
If there's a lawsuit, who's going to be named in that lawsuit?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, ownership's not necessarily such a great thing. But boy,
that's
I can
true.
Tell you as an emotional that's nerve, true. Saying you're an owner, I'm part owner of this big hotel.
Right.
It is an ego play. And I'm not saying ownership's not a bad thing. It's just I'm throwing out. But what if you can get the exact same term, exact same deal, and you don't have any risk? I mean, I would take 100% control all day long. And by the way, another quick tangent, look at 401ks and IRAs.
Yeah.
You own that
not
401k.
Me.
Who really controls it? You have the financial industry, and you've got the IRS, and you've got the employer. They define all the terms, and you got to play within those rules. But you own it. I'd much rather be in the other situation, right, and control it. Well, I throw it out there, but they're hitting on those points. You got ownership, and then aren't you worth it? And for 70 grand today, you're going to get 10,000 points and so I'm listening, and then they're showing, and then for only 400 a month, and you have this whole, where's this 400 a month coming from? Or 500 a month? What is that about?
Okay.
So, we'll finance it. You don't have to pay 70 grand.
Okay.
I'm all, really? Finance it? Okay. What's the interest rate? 11 to 12%. I'm all, my gosh, guys, you guys are just killing me. And I said, I never make, this is, one of my nuggets. I have never bought anything of significance day one, the first day ever. Mm-hmm. I always have had this rule. I'm going to sit on it for 48 hours. And then if I have to have it, then I'll go buy it.
Yeah.
Then I'll go do the investment. Now, probably one of my biggest purchases, in my 20s, I just always wanted this R6 Yamaha. And so I keep going in it seemed like every 3 months, go stare at my motorcycle. And finally, 3 years later, I bought it. Finally, because it was right. And then I always wanted this F-250 crew cab, diesel white truck with the 7.3 liters back in 2000 model. And that was a 4-year process. But I'm just very, very deliberate. And now I've gotten a lot quicker on decision making. But at the time, that's just how my brain thought on toys. Actually, I'm not much better. There's a watch I've wanted for about 20 years. I still haven't bought it. know.
What about that tennis racket? You ended up getting that, didn't you?
No, I didn't. Oh, really? I still haven't bought the tennis. I still haven't bought the tennis rackets. Even though I said I was a year ago.
Yeah.
I didn't. I think I bought something else for my son or wife. They're just justified not buying, but I really should buy it. I really should. I'm building up to it. I'm building up to it.
You got the teapot.
Oh yeah. I got the kettle. I got a beautiful grinder for my wife. I got those fancy Vitamix last year. So it's a lot easier for me to spend money on others. It's harder for me. So if someone's got a great idea and solution on that one, please call it and send an email. So going on the timeshare thing, I'll just warn everyone is like, boy, they kept emphasizing this isn't high pressure. This isn't high pressure. This is not a high pressure deal. Mm-hmm. After this 3-hour process, I was like, holy cow, if that's not high pressure,
right,
I don't know what is. Right. But what they pretty much just wear you out to death. I didn't buy anything to begin with the conclusion, but I can tell you that they're brilliant what they do, and they're brilliant manipulators and puppeteers. And puppeteers, is that the right word? Puppet master? Puppeteer?
Yep.
And so 70 grand to be part of this. Now you've got ownership. Well, guess what? With that ownership, it was about $3,000 and to $4,000 of association fees every year, plus closing costs. And then after 20% down, right? Now if you're getting a loan through the hotel, 11 to 12%. I mean, my gosh. I don't think there should be. I could do a whole podcast. Like, I'm not for usury laws. I just, for everyone just getting really educated and we can make our own choices. But boy, that's like borderline close to usury laws. That's a pretty impressive interest rate, 11-12%.
Yeah.
I mean, it's trying to get up there with the credit cards. And I'm like, holy cow, how the heck do you get away with that? Well, people just usually refinance within a week or so. Really? I'm sure banks are lining up to give you a personal loan for a stupid timeshare.
Right.
I'm like, whatever. And I'm like, I keep telling my wife, and so I said no. And then they sweeten the pot. So if someone really does want a timeshare, here's a technique. Say no about 5 times, and then you're going to really get the best offer. And so by the 3rd time I said no, and he sweetened the pot even more. Then he goes to get his manager.
Of course he
brings in the manager. And this guy,
dun, dun, dun.
Man, super GQ guy, dressed perfectly. He's like, man, do I admire this guy right off the bat. Man, does he dress well. So he sits down and he says, well, I said, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And so he sweetened the pot even again. And now you start scratching your head. It's like, wow, that looks like a great, great deal. And then I step back for a second, talk to the higher part of my brain. And my wife's just listening. But I could tell she's getting pretty fired up and ready to go do some other things. And I said, I don't care if you gave it to me for free. I've never made a decision the first day.
Right.
And I'm not going to start it today.
Right.
Not until I understand this inside out. And plus, I got wonderful clients and friends that understand this game and have an incredible amount of wisdom that I don't have yet because they've been doing this for over 30 years. I'm going to run it by them. No way I'm doing it today. So, okay. I understand. Thank you. So the other guy comes back. The only thing that guilt-wise, I knew that guy, that's the other person trying to sell us on this. Mm-hmm. I knew he wasn't going to get paid any type of commission, right?
Right.
And I said, the only reason I want to do this deal today is because I don't want him not to get paid. But you know what? I just met him.
Right.
My focus is on me and my family. So
absolutely.
No, I'm not doing it.
Nice.
You know, so I don't think I ever talked about it. My brother calls it the crooked stegosaurus syndrome. because I'm such a sucker, like another podcast, another time. I may have already talked about it in the past, but it's just amazing. As intense as I can get, I really do have a big heart. And sometimes you just do things for someone else that you really shouldn't have done. And so anyway, it was a no, but then they get another manager.
Wow.
After I told him no. And they offered some other great deal, had nothing to do with the timeshare, but.
Oh, interesting.
Was, hey, we'll just give you a great vacation for half the price. And I'm like, no. Now I'm just pissed now. Now I'm like, no.
I'm sure.
I'm all, can I please have my time back?
Stop manipulating me.
As I learned, it says, okay, we'll just go to the front and we'll get a shuttle. And it was really nice getting to meet you, blah, blah, blah. Well, then that was like 5 minutes at least. And I finally, I said, Danielle, give me your badge. I took my badge, threw them on the desk. We'll walk back to the hotel. And on the way, we'll go visit the Wynn Hotel, have a nice lunch, which by the way, anyone goes to Vegas, you want to see a high class hotel. My gosh, the Wynn Hotel is beautiful. There's a lot of Palladio, I'm going to say it wrong, and Venetian. I mean, there's so many beautiful hotels down there. It is, and the food is incredible as well. So we had a nice lunch. I was trying to show her some numbers, and I could tell she was done with it, but I do want to share. It just made no sense to me at all. And I will share some numbers with you, Tammy. We'll see how you do. Right. You'll probably roll your eyes like my wife was at that time.
Do I have to get out my calculator?
Nope, no calculators. I'll do it. But that was the whole experience. So anyone wants to do a timeshare, I will. I do want to talk about some of the benefits. But that was brutal. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's great. Ownership, they're getting you on emotion. The value I saw is it's a forced vacation. Like you spend that kind of money. Oh, and by the way, the association fees of $4,000 a year. For 1 to 2 weeks of vacation. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
You know, that's over $300 a month just on association fees,
right?
Which can go up,
right?
And you're on the hook. So, but what I was telling Danielle, I was like, hey, $70,000, let me just show you numbers on this. I can go put this in Energy Note, which was the previous podcast. And for $70,000, I can get that money back a year later and it's going to net 8% in the contract. And I have a first position lien on the assets, UCC filing. That's going to make $5,600 a year. Tammy, what is, what, this is, what is 5,600 divided by seven?
You told me I didn't have to.
I lied. You don't have to pull out your calculator.
Wait, like 900.
What is 5,700 divided by seven?
900.
No.
No? No. Wait, wait, wait. Ask the question again.
Well, let's just make it simple. How about this? If it was 6,900, it's about 815. You actually do need a calculator. Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh. That's okay. Do you want me to keep it out?
Ah, that's fine. Yeah. So I just said 8% interest on $70,000 is $5,600 a year, right? So what's 5,600 divided by seven nights? Let's call it seven nights. Yeah. You shouldn't need a calculator.
Yeah, but I do. 800.
That's $800, right? So $800. When I travel for myself, I don't like spending anything over $100 a night for a hotel. If I can get away with 80. Now, if I take my family, I'm okay with $300 a night. Way different scenario. Sure. I want it to be a great experience.
Right.
Do you think you could find a really, really nice hotel anywhere in the US, maybe in the world, for about $800 a night?
I would hope so.
Yeah. So I don't own the hotel. I don't own a damn thing, but I have full control of when I go.
Where you go.
For the most part, the availability. When I go, where I go. I'm not on the hook with association fees. Right. There's no liability. There's no way my credit's going to be impacted. There is no credit. Report. I just got this investment that's cranking out. So we call it, it'll be the Green Vacation Fund. $70,000 in this thing, and it's creating a 1 week planning. We just have to agree, be disciplined enough to go to a really nice place for a week.
That's a great idea.
Isn't it?
Yes.
So why do a timeshare?
Yeah.
I wanted to leave some time to talk about your experience, but is it pretty much ditto what you went through?
Oh, absolutely.
Would you ever go to a timeshare again?
No, it's so sad to me that they haven't changed it in all those years. It had to have been 20-ish, more than 20, probably 25 years ago.
Well, you know why they haven't changed it?
Because it works. Oh, that's disgusting.
It works.
And sad.
Oh, man, it's brilliant. I mean, it's really brilliant. Oh. And I have a strong feeling. I would love to see the data on it, on the numbers. Mm-hmm. Oh, even the notes, by the way. Hey, I said, I want all these notes you gave me. He says, oh, no, you don't get to keep those. It goes into a file. It goes into a file. You said I have to make the decision today. Oh, well, so I didn't quite understand that answer to that one. I said, well, but he's all, you can take a picture of it. Oh, cool. Thank you. Thanks for bending the rules. I'll take a few pictures. Then the second the highest heavy hitter that came out, he says, you want your notes? He says, hey, those go in a file. And he says, no, you can have them. So I think the file was a circular file, right? They probably just went into a trash can.
Right.
But again, they get you. That like, they know I like to have something in my hand. They know my background. They know what we're interested in because they ask all those questions on the front. I mean, it is emotion. Mm. And now I will say, I was seeing a great friend at lunch part of this podcast. And asking about the value he's had, because he's got a fair amount of them. And the value part is just, my conclusion, unless someone can call in or shoot me an email or something where they found a better way to play a game, it makes no sense to put that kind of money out, $70,000 for what? And then to tie yourself into at least 4,000 association fees every year. Crazy.
Right.
And by the way, not a smart way to build wealth. You want one, every time you're putting your money into a savings strategy or financial strategy or investment, you want that dollar doing numerous things for you, not just one purpose. That's why I hate 529s. That's why I hate IRAs and 401ks. They can have their place, but it's the last place I go because it was $1 designed to do one thing: retirement, college, timeshare, forced vacations. Now, for those who don't have discipline and you're afraid you're going to bust into that and not follow your own rules, and yeah, maybe 401k is a great thing. Let everyone else control it for you. But if you want a different way to play the game, think about what I was just talking about, Energy Note. How fun is that? And you get your money back. And if you don't want to go that year, you can't, you don't go.
Right.
And you just roll that into for more investments. So you can go to an even cooler place next year if that's what you're dedicating the fund to. But you have options. If you have an emergency, the money's there. Surprise visit to the hospital, which I'll share in January of this year with everyone soon. The money's there. Right. So, but one way that you can play the game, like I don't want to ruin this deal for me, so I'm not going to share it with anyone on the podcast, but you can get, so my friend client, they found a great timeshare deal for me that I get in. Instead of paying $70,000, I can get it for $3,500. And you buy them through the tertiary markets, secondary markets. So all these suckers that got sucked in 20, 30 years ago, 5 years ago, and everyone doesn't listen to this podcast, and goes, and I have a feeling they probably convert at least 50%. They really are puppeteers. They are the puppet master in those rooms. Mm. They control the environment. They know what to hit on. Right. I would be amazed that they don't convert 50% of the people in there on something.
And it just proves that people don't think about their thinking like you were just so clear to do, which is why you take time and don't decide on that first day.
It is. It's just, you know, people are very trained on that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, but yeah, 50%, right? It is my guess, at least.
It must in order to have continued for so long.
And so all I could do is, if your gut's telling you you're uncomfortable, something doesn't reside, something doesn't resonate, don't let someone guilt you into a step back. But the people who did get into it, they got it, whatever, they made a decision. We're all big boys and girls. But then like years later, they're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be in this anymore. I can't afford, especially when the market crashed years ago, I can't afford these association fees anymore. Boy, does ownership suck now. So what they'll do is they'll go sell it out on these tertiary markets, and then you can go buy them. Hmm. And so now I'm looking at a great opportunity for nothing, maybe free, but I have to be willing to pick up the association fees. But where it gets really powerful though is there are certain areas I do know I want to go to once a year for sure. And if I can't go, I could just roll it over anyway, but I'm okay with it. And instead of paying $1,200 a night, oh, here's the other thing. Don't do the points. I'm purchasing flat out 7 nights. Not that cannot be changed. That is tangible. That's real.
Right.
And so worst case scenario, if I can't get that 1 week I want, you can exchange. There's a lot of things you can do. I'm tied into the association fees unless down the road I decide to sell it off. But now I can get 7 nights if we think far enough ahead. What at certain times of year is only $200 a night or $500 a week, who knows? But at when there's big events that occur in the area, you're looking at $1,000 to $1,200 a night. And guess what? You can rent it out to other people, family, friends. That's what I'd recommend. You're on the hook if something goes wrong. But that to me is that's the value of a timeshare, is that if you can negotiate a great deal on the front side, the problem with the points is they can inflate it and deflate it. By far more tangible to get something where it's solid, like 7 nights, you can't change that on you. And there's some great, there's some great, hotels out there, and I don't get a penny for this, but for me, when I travel, I know, like I always do Airbnb and VRBO, those type of things, Tammy. But the last three or four houses we stayed at Airbnb has been the worst beds ever. And I have not slept at all. My wife and I are just dying. She didn't sleep at all either. And like, you know, we go into like a timeshare, like we're looking at, when I travel, what I knew I'm going to get, like I absolutely love Marriott's level of service for me. And so they got timeshare deals, they got great hotels. And so that is like, if you're going to go travel somewhere and you know you like going to a certain spot, you know you're going to get excellent service, excellent bed. It's going to be in a safe area. Boy, have I made the mistake in some places I've stayed to save money, where I didn't think I was going to make it back the next day. I was like, man, should I really agree on that for $39 a night? I probably should pay the $150. A few years ago, I was down in Mesa, Arizona on a trip, and I just did not want to spend what would have been a fair rate. And where I stayed, Daniel's, that's it. I'm in charge of all your travel from now on. but that's the positive side of timeshare. Is like, if there's something like you really like traveling, like vacation, you know, there's a certain type of hotel like Marriott that you enjoy. And there's a whole bunch out there that you love their level of service. You like how they do it. You know, there can be a lot of value, but I would say look at the secondary markets, because there's a good chance because they can control that environment. They really might win on that deal. And what a shocker. There's a bunch of attorneys now doing all these class action lawsuits, I believe, from people who got suckered in timeshare years ago. All right. But like to your point, Tammy, it really is the person's decision and they should own up to it. And you're right. It was their fault and I shouldn't give anyone an out on that. They're incredible manipulators. But I think that bites people in the butt later on. Not a good way to do business, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But that's my whole story on timeshares and how you could create your own forced travel plan just by using your money to invest in smart investments, make that your travel fund. And you still got the principal back every single year. It's just one fun game. And why, yeah, to me, it's just the timeshare thing made no sense. And I was just trying to show how excited I was with my idea, showing to Danielle. And she was done with it. She didn't want to talk to me anymore. So I had to do a podcast. Everyone else had to listen to it. And you did too, Tammy.
And that's the one you did last week without me?
No, this one showing how, on the debt instrument for energy. Yeah. And then tying it to how it could be our timeshare without having all the risk and paying 70 grand that we lose forever. Yeah, so I was hoping to get those words from her, but she was so done. She wanted her 3 hours back, which rightly so, my bad. But at least now you heard it and everyone else listening's heard it.
And that was really your payment for, sounds like a really nice hotel. So when you look at it that way, it's not that big of a deal because you saved a ton of money. You got a beautiful place.
I want my 3 hours back. I would have gladly paid $1,000 instead of $250. I will say what it was important, though, is I got an incredible education, understanding what salespeople do and why I'll never be that, ever. I hate it. You know, I think it would just serve everyone by far better, especially long-term. When I'm looking for clients, people help, I want them for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely.
That's the pure joy. But to brainwash, manipulate someone into making an emotional decision.
Yeah.
That could create huge financial consequences for them.
That's right.
I just don't get it. And I'm sure they justify it in their own way, but whatever. Why not just educate them, show them all the pros, show them all the cons, let people make an educated choice and do something that resonates for them. I think you elevate them, you elevate yourself by doing so. And it's a win-win situation. But yeah, anyone who's had an incredible experience in a timeshare presentation, please reach out to me and let me know. So I'd love to share that story. But the best example I found is the one I shared that I've learned from my friend. It's really great. You know, I'm so grateful for my friends and clients because of what I've learned from them and just sharing that part of how you can play the game a lot better. And I asked them, I said, hey, can you come on and share what you know in real estate and timeshares? And so I'm building them up for that. We'll see. We'll see when Kim on as a guest.
Nice.
Because he's got at least 30 years of just incredible wisdom to share.
Yeah.
Very sharp. And so that's just a little nugget I shared of where the timeshare could make a lot of sense, but I wouldn't do it in those high pressure situations. Get the facts, sit on it, buy it in the secondary market. It's been my conclusion.
Cool.
So good. And take your money and put it into investment and then just enjoy that cash flow.
Yeah. I think
that'll fund your vacations. Yeah.
Total freedom, flexibility, control.
Anyone wants to learn more about exciting timeshares, investments, savings, the Bankosaurus. You go to my website, engineerofinance.com. If you want to get in my newsletter, it's great. I do snippets from the Engineer of Finance I release every week. I always have a fun thought for the week. And or if you're really brave, pick up the phone, call my office, 775-624-8839. Next podcast, most likely I'm going to talk about the difference between financial planning versus financial strategies.
Ooh, I like that.
Big difference.
Yeah.
And so that one I'll try to keep short because there's some other things I want to talk about. But it's just something that was in my head that I was hoping to talk about today. But somehow I turned timeshare into a 50-minute podcast. Yay. So, Tammy, you want to do a great wrap-up?
Yeah. I don't know about a great one, but I'll do my best. So,
phenomenal wrap-up.
The thing I think that came out from today's podcast, for me anyway, is the message about Ken's customer service. And it was really right there at the end when he was talking about how he could never put himself in the shoes of those salespeople at the timeshares because they're not thinking of the long-term client relationship. And that's what Ken wants, is the long-term client relationship. So if you think about how that behooves you as a potential client, it's just amazing because he's going to do whatever he needs to do. As long as you're the ideal client, he's going to do whatever he needs to do for you. And he's going to commit to you and take care of you and think outside the box, think outside the typical financial advisor box to be the best provider for you. And if it were me, that's where I'd want to put my intellectual space and my money space and everything. So thanks so much for listening and keep sharing this podcast because more people need to understand that there's a financial advisor out there who really cares about them.
Thank you, Tammy B. And thank you to all the listeners. And I really look forward to the next podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.